Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And just a couple more verses here. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And here we have the psalmist's desire to learn God's word, but also to have it in his heart and to do God's word. And that's so important. It's not just a matter of learning. I'd just like to share something with you. This is a from a church, and this is their mission statement. And I won't tell you where the church is. It's not the one Mike and Liz are going to, but I picked it up in Texas. And the church is called Grace Bible Church. Mission statement: the main objective in the Christian life is to reach spiritual maturity and thereby glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To that end, it is the mission of Grace Bible Church of Corpus Christi, well, I just told you where it is, no? To provide systematic Bible doctrine to those believers who desire to hear the expository teaching of the infallible Word of God. Now, that's what is said there is not nothing wrong there, is there? But what it doesn't say is important. Is it enough just to hear the word of God? And we sang tonight, trust and obey. That obedience part of learning God's word has been lost, especially by those that espouse grace. But that's really a misuse of grace to leave that out. The psalmist here, he didn't want just to learn God's commandments. He wanted to do God's commandments. He wanted to fulfill them. And when he looked at himself, he says, I wish I would. I don't. And he needed his way to be cleansed. And he wanted God to help him not to wander, verse 10, from his commandments. And I like how this psalm ends, verse 176. Because it fits with these opening words. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So even at the end of this long psalm, this beautiful psalm, he says, you know, I have gone astray. I have a tendency to go astray. I have a tendency to fail. But seek your servant. Lord, don't forsake me, even though I fail in so many ways. And that can be a testimony of all of us. We fail in many ways, but we do believe God's word, we love God's word, and we want to be changed into what God wants us to be through his word. And that's what Psalm 119 is all about. Okay, well, let's talk about the different words that are used to describe God's word. Anybody give me one? Huh? Way. Okay, God's way. Now I'm using this book by Chrisman called More Precious Than Gold. Bernice Schwartz gave us this book because C.H. Chrisman was from the Missionary Alliance, and she had heard him speak, I believe, one time. But he wrote this book, and this book is all about Psalm 119, and it's a devotional. And so every day you have a reading from one of the verses in Psalm 119 and then the commentary on it and a devotional. So if you ever can pick this book up, it's very good. I'm sure it's out of print. Better Than Gold by Chrisman. But he describes, he has a definition for these different words. The first one, which one did you say? Way? The designated path for all pilgrims to follow. The designated path for all pilgrims to follow. Okay, what's another one? Law? Okay, law. The laws of heaven for gracious living on earth. And when he speaks of the law, he's probably referring either to the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, or when Jesus referred to law, at times referred to the Old Testament completely. Sometimes the law is separated from the prophets, the law and the prophets, or the law and the Psalms and the prophets, but often it refers to the Old Testament, but specifically the laws of heaven for gracious living on earth, God's will for man on earth, how we should live. Okay, what's another one? Precepts. Precepts, specific rules of conduct for all who are in the way. So God has specific commands for us that are to guide us along the way. Okay, it's another one. What'd you say? Tender mercies. Okay. He doesn't have that one listed. Statutes, permanent and mandatory principles of God's government. Permanent and mandatory principles of God's government. That'd be like statutes within our laws. You go to court and you say, well, I didn't know about that. They say, well, ignorance of the law is no defense. You should have known about it. I think there's a couple that are used as synonyms. I think ordinance and statutes, but that's probably the same word, Hebrew word. Right, that'd be more of a descriptive phrase for what the Word of God. And mercies, I think, would be more of a how God acts towards us rather than the actual precepts. Okay, Scott had one.
Testimonies.
The witness to God's own character and will. So the Word of God gives us testimony of who God is and what he is like. Okay, we just have a few left. Judgments, divine decisions involving reward and penalty. So it's just like you go before a judge and he makes a decision. But the Word of God does that. Reward and penalty is included. So it's not only the rule itself, but the consequence of breaking those judgments or keeping them as well. Okay? Greg. Commandments, the declarations of absolute authority. Think of the Ten Commandments, which basically all laws are based on. Every country bases their laws on the Ten Commandments. They don't admit it. Even the Soviet Union, during their belief in atheism, they still had the same laws that other countries have because their moral law is an eternal declaration of right and wrong. And it's written in our hearts as well as in tables of stone. Okay, a couple more. Word, that's a pretty obvious one. God expressed will in human language. If you read the thing from Bible International today, you note that Luxembourg did not have a written language until 25 years ago. Isn't that incredible? You think of Luxembourg as a modern country. They didn't have a written language. It wasn't, they had a spoken language, but not a written language until 25 years ago. And now Bibles International is translating the Bible into their their language. Okay. I think we had that one. Truth, that which is eternally so. And then one more. Justice, I think, is under judgments. And justice would be the same. No, that would go along with the judgments too, and justice. Ordinance is the same as precepts, I think. Well, heart would identify us and how we're supposed to have God's word in our hearts, right? Counselors, guidance and perplexity and directives along the way. Jonathan Edwards said, I know of no part of the Holy Scriptures where the nature and evidence of true and sincere godliness are so fully and largely insisted upon and delineated as in the 119th Psalm. Evidence, nature, evidence of true and sincere godliness. And that should be our heart's desire, what the psalmist has written in Psalm 119. So what are some of your favorite verses from Psalm 119? You want to read it? Okay. The permanency of God's word. Scott, what did you have? Yep, I had that one marked too. 105. That's a favorite of many people, isn't it? A lamp unto our feet. That's, verse 11, is it? Or verse 10? Or what is it? Yeah. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against you. I was gonna mention that verse 89, forever your Lord is settled in heaven, that shows endurance and permanence of God's word. And then the verse that Scott had, the entirety of your word is truth. All the word is true. Every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. So from cover to cover, every verse of Scripture is true, and it is infallible. Okay, anybody else? Okay, that's a good one. How do you want to cleanse your way? Take heed to the Word of God. I like that word, that verse too. The entrance of your Word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. Just those that are willing to listen to it and hear it and be taught. Great. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, like we sang this morning, didn't we? Verse 90. Your faithfulness endures to all generation. You establish the earth and it abides. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Don't do that. Anybody else? 175. Let my soul live, and shall I shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. That's a good one too. You see through this psalm that David is going through a lot of affliction, and it may well be because of his own doing. Because he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Verse 67, but now I keep your word. So God had to run him through the mill in order to get his attention and for him to start going God's way. But now he's asking for God to help him in his affliction and through it. Anybody else? Yeah, I think Evan, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? That's a good one, though. Kayla. That's a wonderful verse. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things, wondrous things out of your law. Takes divine enablement to understand and appreciate God's word. Well, how many do you get? You can't have 10 favorites. I know they're all good, but it is good for me that I have been afflicted. At least someone is participating. Thank you. I shouldn't discourage that. That I may learn your statutes. It's good for me to be afflicted. And, huh? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm just giving you a hard time. Come on, young people. You don't have any favorites? You know how to read? Huh? What, yours was said. What was yours? Verse 175, same one Eric stole from you, huh? Yeah. That is a good verse. I like that one. Let my soul live in it, shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. What do you do at a restaurant? Come on, just pick one. You can do it, Donna. I see who has to make the decisions in your house. Nope. Verse 1 is good. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Greg, you got another one?
Yeah.
That's a good one, too. Yep, I had that one circled too. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Which one? You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Yeah, I like that one too. And verse 65, too, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. We'll look back at our life. The Lord has dealt well with us. He's been very gentle and kind and merciful. I like verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Which one now? 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. That's a good one. That's a good one, too. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Yeah, we could actually go through every verse and say, that's a good one. It's like Javer McGee, every time he started a book, he would say, now this is my favorite book. They're all his favorites. And all these verses can be our favorite too. Well, now let's get to the nitty-gritty here of finding which verses did not mention the scripture. Word. 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. Okay. What's that? Oh, did you? Okay. 122. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. Okay. That's one of them. You had that one too, huh? Good for you. Good job. Scott. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Okay. 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? So that's four. There's another one that some believe is... Right, 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Now, I want to read what Graham Scroggie, and this is his book on Psalms, Book of Psalms, says here. I think I brought the right one here. I don't know why they use Roman numerals, because it makes it harder to figure it out. Now, the words he had for the Word of God in Psalm 119 are a little bit different. He has commandment, a definite command imposed by authority, judgments, which are judicial decision or sentence, law, a law teaching, instruction, teaching, revelation of the will of God for the life of man, precepts, and he has Hebrew words for all these. It means mandates, injunctions, always in the plural. Saying occurs 19 times. It means an utterance, the purport of something communicated orally. Statutes, the word comes from a root which means to hew, cut in, engrave, inscribe, and comes to mean what is ordained, decreed, prescribed, enacted. Testimonies. So he had statutes and precepts being different. Testimonies means reiteration, attestation, or witness. Way describes a road as trodden, a mode of life, a course of action marked out by God's law. Word, to arrange and road a set forth in speech. This is not the same as saying. It signifies the articulation of God's will to men. The Ten Commandments are the 10 words. The Decalogue. And 10, there are several words which one or other of which may sometimes regard as a synonym for the law, but none, but which more properly are attributes of it. These words are righteousness, faithfulness, and truth. Now that affects which verses we pick as being without mention to the word. And this is his comment on that. It was commonly said that there are some references to law in every verse of Psalm except in verse 122. Now 122 is the one that everyone would agree. In fact, F.B. Meyer said there's only one verse that doesn't mention God's word, and that is verse 122. Be surety for your servant for good, do not let the proud oppress me. But he says this is not correct. The word judgment in verse 84 is not a designation of the law, but a sentence which will be carried out in keeping with it. And so that one was mentioned. How many are the steps, days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? So an execution of judgment is not the same as a judgment. A judgment as a precept or so, in that sense. Faithfulness in verse 90 is, as we have said, an attribute of the law rather than a name for it. So we say that God's word is faithful. And so that's an attribute of it. There appears to be no word for law in verse 132. But see under number 2, judgment, in the Hebrew, there actually is the word judgment within verse 132. Look upon me and merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. I think the word custom there, as your custom, refers to judgment. It is safe to say that the law is referred to in 173 of the 176 verses of Psalm. The whole is the elaboration of Psalm 19, 7 through 11, which is a song that we sang this morning. Right? Okay, so the three verses that he believes are 122, 84, and 90. That did not. But if you look at, you know, if you kind of stretch the definition of word, you could add 84 and 90 as having a reference to God's word. So, okay. Any other comments? So we think of God revealing himself to us. He's revealed himself, first of all, through creation. We have that in Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And that witness has gone out to all the world. That's what Psalm 19 says. There's no place wherever the sun shines, God's revelation of himself through creation has gone. We also have from Romans 1, if you want to turn there, we have God revealing himself to every person this way. And really when we deal with Richard Dawkins and his issues are really with this. Verse 18, chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, that word suppress means to hold down the truth. They don't want the truth to get out because error cannot stand in the face of truth. That's why people hate the word of God so much, because it exposes them. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So God has shown it to them. And it is through man's conscience that he mentions later that in chapter 2, and if I could find it, write this down. Where does that say? Where it says that they... In chapter 2? Yeah, right, exactly. Thanks, Justin. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. The day that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. See, Richard Dawkins, Bill Nye, everyone has a conscience that accuses them or excuses them. Excuse you if you do what's right. Accuse if you do what's wrong, but you can harden your conscience. And in verse 5 it says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath the day of wrath, revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So when you have the feeling your conscience is violated, you don't like it because it's not a good feeling, is it? To act against your conscience. So you have to do something. And the way you harden your conscience is that you excuse what you're doing and blame God or blame religion for your conscience. So you want to get rid of it. And the way to get rid of God is to embrace evolution, because then you don't need God and you can be your own God then. So it fits in perfectly with the New Age. Okay? And so he's revealed himself in natural or general revelation, as we just mentioned, through creation and our conscience. Also, he's revealed himself in special ways. For one thing, he would appear to people in the Bible and give them direct revelation, appear to the prophets and so on. And then we have also the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of God in John 1. And God sent his Son for that reason, to reveal who he is, his character, his love, and his salvation. And then he's given to us the Word of God. And so we believe in divine inspiration, God superintending the writing of scriptures so that that they were produced without error in the original manuscripts. We have that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1:21, the scripture came not by old time by the will of men, but holy men of God wrote, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this is how we've received this revelation that we have today on our laps, and that we can read. And then we have divine illumination, which gives us understanding. As somebody mentioned, verse 18 of Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your law. And Jesus said that when the Spirit of God would come, he would guide us into all truth. So we have divine revelation. And maybe we can close in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's words to us, starting verse 19. Second Peter 1:19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. And what Peter is saying here is, in verse 16, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And John also gives witness of the fact that he saw the glory of God manifested in Christ. That's in John chapter 1. We're going to study that next in Matthew 17 as well, the transfiguration. But verse 19 says, we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark place until the day dawn shines in your and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the coming of the Lord. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. The Scripture is self-correcting, and all cults refuse to look at the whole Scripture. They pick out certain Scriptures that back their position, and we have to be very careful when we study the Bible. We don't pick out certain Scriptures which back up what we want to believe, but that we look at the whole Scripture, because that was going to self-correct any errors that we have in our thinking or in our interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we can be very thankful. I'm losing my voice. So we're going to have to quit. But we should be very thankful that we have a Bible in our lap that has the Word of God, don't we? We're thankful for that, and that's why we have Bible Day. Remind us to be thankful, because many people don't have the Bible. And if you want to give towards Bible International, their work, the box will be on the back for another week. $488 came in for the Gideons this morning, so we praise the Lord for that. And hopefully they'll be able to use that to share the Word of God with many more people, and we can have more testimonies like Happy this morning, coming to know the Christ as his Savior through a Gideon Bible. And that's very wonderful. Okay, buddy, you'd like to close in prayer?